Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the remainder of this year while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return December 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God will be released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. We are more than conquerors in all things through Jesus. Amen. Last week, I started a new teaching titled, The Fruit of the Born-Again Spirit. This teaching will be an in-depth study of the book of Galatians, chapter 5. The Holy Spirit gave me this teaching in response to all of the negative and abusive rhetoric and confrontations we experience and hear about daily. People in general are operating by their ungodly thoughts and emotions and lashing out at others for no apparent reason. Satan has persuaded these individuals to act out their aggression on the innocent and those weaker than themselves. Rarely do we hear reported on the news about individuals who have demonstrated acts of kindness or compassion on behalf of others. You may be in a hurting situation and feeling isolated, but unfortunately, you are not alone. There are hurting people all over the world, in our communities and families, because of living under the influence of the lies of Satan. Christians have the answer, and the truth is found in Jesus. We are the light of the world, and we of all people should be able to demonstrate the perfect love of God to others. Satan and his evil assignments cannot prevail when God's people live according to the Holy Bible. In Jesus, we got the victory over all of Satan's lies and attacks. However, it is the responsibility of each Christian to grow in the attributes and character of our Savior if we want to enjoy peace of mind and prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. If you are interested in being a living epistle of Jesus Christ and growing in faith, growing in love, growing in joy, growing in peace, growing in faithfulness, growing in gentleness, and growing in self-control, please join me every Wednesday morning to study the fruit of the born-again spirit. If you were not with us last week or would like to re-listen to the previous programs aired, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will be quoting from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We had just finished reading Galatians chapter 5 when I ran out of time. Before examining chapter 5 verse by verse, I would like to give you some important facts about this chapter. Paul's primary message to the Christians in Galatia is not to turn back to legalism, the law, as a way of life. Christians have been set free from all religious traditions through salvation in Jesus. Jesus Christ has completed the law and fulfilled its obligation on our behalf. We are no longer slaves to the curse of the law. Just as important, the promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is not received by works, but by faith. When we accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord of our life, we received the measure of His nature and character. We received all of His attributes and characteristics in our born-again spirit, in seed form. Just like the measure of faith which we received at salvation that is recorded in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. However, it is by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead our thoughts, words, and actions that we will grow in faith and in the nature and character of Jesus our Lord. We will produce good fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Each Christian must will to practice these attributes. You are in charge of your growth. The more you practice these attributes, the faster and stronger these fruits of the born-again spirit will grow and be in operation. The benefit of growing in these fruits brings you prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. They are the solution to good health and emotional stability. When a Christian is operating in the fruit of the born-again spirit, no one or nothing can steal your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not your spouse, not your children, not your co-workers, not our government leaders, or Satan himself. This is why it is important to grow in the fruit of the born-again spirit, so we will be able to stand against every evil assignment that would try to rise up against us. Family, this is what we must keep safe in our hearts and minds, and that is that when we accepted the gift of salvation, we became new creatures in Christ. The old sinful you is dead and buried. The only person that can resurrect the old sinful you is you. We must determine individually to live according to the new man who is made in the image of Jesus Christ. A victor and more than a conqueror. That is who we are. Let's read some supporting scriptures about the new creation in Jesus. I will be reading from the New King James Bible for the following passages. Let's start with the book of Romans. Please turn to Romans chapter 6. We will be reading verses 3 through 7. Again, Romans 6, starting with verse number 3. It says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Verse number 5. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him being Jesus, that our body of sin or sin nature might be done away with, rendered inactive, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Last verse, verse number 7. "For he who has died has been freed from sin. Dead people cannot sin. That's how we have to think of ourselves, as dead to the sin nature and alive in Jesus Christ. Now, family, just for emphasis, I want to remind you that in verse number 3, it says that we have been baptized into his death. In other words, when we accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, we are saying no to the old self and yes to the recreated spirit in our Savior, Jesus the Christ. So in verse number 4, it says, then we have to walk in newness of life. And we can do so, family, if we choose to. But our will is in charge. We must say no to sin and yes to the new life in Christ. Verse number 5 says, at the very end, likeness of his resurrection. And his resurrection is referring to Jesus, our Savior and Lord. So we have to act like him, look like him, be like him. And that's a result of choosing to freely accepting and doing his word. All right. And then, of course, dead people cannot sin. I want to remind each and every one of us, when we came to Christ, we said we no longer wanted to be the sinful, filthy sinner that we once were. But because we have been cleansed with the blood of Jesus, we have said no to sin and yes to Jesus and his life in victory. So operate as if you're dead with regards to that sinful nature, and look unto the Lord for hope and for operating successfully in this earth realm. All right, let's go to chapter 8 of the book of Romans, and we're going to just read two verses, verses 9 and 10. 9 and 10. Romans 8, 9 and 10 say, but you are not in the flesh, but in the recreated spirit, if indeed the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the recreated spirit is life because of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ that dwells in each of us as Christians. Amen and amen. All right, let's continue with a few more scriptures regarding the new or recreated man, spirit, and that is a result of us accepting the gift of salvation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, spiritually dead to spiritually alive. We were once spiritually dead in our sinful nature, but as a result of accepting the gift of salvation, we have gone from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive in Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, they have become new in the spirit world, because it is our spirit, the inner man, that has accepted and been transformed through salvation. So, let me read that scripture one more time. I want you to listen carefully, because this is the image that you should have of yourself as a Christian. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that's a choice, family. You have to choose to operate in the newness of your life in Jesus. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. We're going to read Philippians chapter 3, two verses, 13 and 14, that say, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. The emphasis should be on the last part of verse 13. Each of us as Christians must will to do the following: forgetting those things which are behind. All that sin that you once committed is in the past. Forget it. Let it go. You can't change it. I wish we could, but we can't. But in Jesus, it is washed away. Our Heavenly Father chooses not to remember any of those past sins, so we can operate in freedom in Jesus. Again, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And those things that we're reaching for are the attributes and characteristics of our Savior and Lord. All right, now I do want to reread chapter 5, verses 16 through 21 from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible. And the reason I want to read that section is because we're going to examine each item that's listed in the sinful nature and then also in the recreated nature. I will be defining each of these words that we're going to examine based on the New Webster Dictionary. So let's read, and then we're going to define and move forward. So starting with verse 16 through verse 21 from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible, it says, "So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and our choices are never free from this conflict. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's examine sexual immorality. Let me define it. It says from the New Webster Dictionary, means sex that is not moral, not conforming to accepted patterns of what is considered right and wrong behavior. It is lewd, wicked, obscene, and indecent. As Christians, our life's guidebook is the Holy Bible. Therefore, to define what is right or wrong on any topic, including sexual morality, the act must be in accordance with God's word, not what society says is right or wrong. The Bible tells us that sex is confined to the marriage bed between the husband and wife. I want us to read some supporting scriptures to this truth from the New King James Bible. Let's start in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. We're going to read just one verse, verse number 4. Hebrews 13:4 says, Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. Undefiled means pure. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Let's continue with Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. Proverbs 5, 18 through 20 says, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress?" Let's continue with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites." Family, adultery, fornication, masturbation, homosexuality, and alike are immoral lifestyles and an abomination to God. Please turn to the book of Romans. We're going to read from Romans chapter 1, and I want to read the passage that starts at verse 22 through verse 32. Romans 1, starting with verse 22, says, "Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Verse 26, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due." Verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or degraded mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Family, this is not what Christians should be involved in. And I want to read that last part of verse 32 for emphasis, because we're not talking about missing the mark and sinning. We're talking about Christians practicing sin as a lifestyle and saying that they are Christians, that they love Jesus, and that their name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. Don't deceive yourselves, because the scripture says, last part, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Now, we've already read what they're practicing. So I'm going to be sharing more about this in the teaching. So I'm not going to go back to the first verse, but you know what we just read. Practicing such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And we are seeing a lot of that going on even in the church. Satan has cleverly entered into the body of Christ, talking about tolerance for others and their sinful lifestyles. I want to say this right up front. We are not against the people. We are against the sin. We love the people, and that's why we're warning them, just like the scriptures tell us to do, that if they continue practicing these types of sin, they are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And I don't want to see anyone go to hell because we did not speak the truth so they could hear it. Oh, I'm so sorry, family. I'm out of time. Please come back next week as we continue our study on the fruit of the born again spirit. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.